Welcome back to another episode of Dimes on Duval here in my office, whatever you want to call it. Oh, did you hear my stomach there?
Yes.
I have the stomach gurgles right now.
I thought that was a motorcycle that time.
It could have been. It might as well have been. But as you can already hear, Skylar and Mike are alongside me for another wonderful episode, episode 52. If I'm not mistaken, we never actually say the number. Actually, well, I usually introduce it. I never say the episode number, so.
Honestly, I don't really keep track of anymore.
The Daryl Smith episode.
The Daryl Smith. Yeah, that's what. We'll just start associating the Jaguars or someone else that we know. 52. Oh, yeah, that's
Daryl Smith's the most popular one I can.
Well, there's Ray Lewis and Patrick Willis.
Well, Daryl.
Are you talking about Jaguars?
Ray Lewis is a bad person, though.
Yeah, I mean. You could murder your thoughts about what you think of him, I guess.
And see, there you go. You already spelled it out. But right off the bat, we still might have another episode before, but Thanksgiving's right around the corner. Best Thanksgiving side.
I always like mashed potatoes and gravy, but, you know, it's got to have gravy with it.
Are you brown gravy, white gravy? Does it matter gravy?
Doesn't matter gravy.
Okay.
Sausage gravy, too. Yeah.
Sausage gravy.
Actually, biscuits and gravy.
Hampton Inn I was at the other day. That was a...
At what place?
Hampton Inn. I was at Hampton the other
day. Oh, nice. Free continental breakfast?
Yeah. Ooh. They had like cinnamon roll waffles. They had all kinds of good stuff. Anyway, Mike, you're deliberating.
Yeah, I'm torn between two. I was going to say mashed potatoes, but I was like, go to something different. I don't know about you guys, but I don't mind a good green bean casserole.
Ah, that's mine. That's
or
mine.
Or the cheesy potatoes, like the... like
scalloped potatoes? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm a green bean casserole guy.
Yeah, I like green bean casserole too. It's good.
And then what would y'all say, which one's worse, stuffing or cranberry sauce?
Cranberry sauce.
I've never had stuffing, so I'm going cranberry sauce.
Oh, wow.
I don't really care for stuffing, but if you put both in front of me, I would eat the stuffing before cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I like stuffing a lot. I was surprised by the fact that Mike has never had stuffing.
Do you even know what's in it?
No. I'm telling you, Arabs don't really use stuffing, so...
I mean, it's fair.
Yeah.
Do you have a traditional Thanksgiving, or do you guys do different foods?
We do
foods,
combination or? Of normal Thanksgiving and Arabic Thanksgiving. Like, there's some Arabic dishes, like grape leaves, that's always usually included with it.
Well, I did just have come across the wire that UCF just pulled away and beat JU in men's basketball. And that leads me to the actual episode. We got some sports to talk about, guys. We'll get across JU and UNF later on, but we obviously always start with the Jags, and we're going to do it again this time. So Jacksonville Jaguars lose again, this time in Indianapolis, 23-17.
It was close, yeah.
The scoreboard said it was close, but I didn't feel like it was that close.
Well,
do you guys get that feeling?
A rough start, for sure. Like, we spotted them that they were we were down 17-0 right away. So, yeah, bad start. It's hard to come back from.
Yeah, we spotted him, like he said, 17 points. Not a good start, but I think we outgained the Colts, which is also a little surprising because the way they were running all over us in the first quarter, I thought they're going to run all over us throughout the game with Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. So, I mean, players that showed – the team showed me something in that – this team is a long way from actually performing to a competitive level in terms of the offense. The offense is just—it's just bad. There's no receiver that can get separation. There's no receiver that can help Trevor Lawrence. This team, Dan Arnold is our most reliable player right now on offense. Most reliable pass catcher.
Right.
On offense, because James Robinson is still the most reliable player on the team. On offense, because the team might be Josh Allen.
And you could argue James Robinson has probably got the best hands on the offense, too. He catches everything thrown his way. He had, like, maybe one drop on, like, a screen play, but Dan Arnold gets drops. Marvin Jones drops it sometimes. Chenault drops it the most, probably.
Agnew dropped it every time last time.
Yeah, he's special teams guy. So, and that's the guy we're expecting offense from is Jamal Agnew. That's where we're at with
that's
this.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
He's a converted punt returner / corner.
I get that.
It's frustrating. And I was watching the game at Ale House with one of my cousins, and people around us were like, well, I think there was a ball thrown to Chenault, and then one of the guys was like, Why are they not using him as a running back? He is built like a running back. And this is what I've been saying for the last few weeks. He is a running back playing receiver. Chenault stinks, can't get separation, drops plenty of balls, and it's just forcing Trevor Lawrence to make mistakes and try to win the game by himself, which we saw on the last play of the game for the offense, where he tried to pretty much run for the first down.
Yeah, it is a disaster on the offensive side of the ball. I'm not even blaming play calling either. I think sometimes...
I mean, to an extent, it's bad. Like, third and one from the shotgun. We talked about it early in the season, the like goal line situations. I mean, it seems like they're not learning from some of the situations, but then again, they're limited with their personnel, so...
And when you, like, only get, like, one first down, like, half the game, it's hard to come up with a rhythm offense when you don't ever get that rhythm. I mean... What is that, 2 weeks in a row, Lawrence hasn't thrown a touchdown pass? It's not good.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, you say play calling wasn't a big issue, but it kind of was. On third and two, you're going 30 yards in the air on a play. Like, just run it up the middle or just do a quick play-action pass, not 30 yards downfield,
well,
in my opinion.
If you don't have anything going for you, why not go for the home run?
Well, that's where you probably put Chenault in the backfield and hand it off to him and let him use that physicality just to get those 2 yards.
So, I like that idea, but my thing is, like, look who we're playing next week. We're playing the Niners.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw the game last night against the Rams. Deebo Samuel was being used as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And he... torch the Rams, not only receiving, but also he got some good runs. That's what's going to happen this Sunday against Jacksonville. Like, they're going to do the same thing, and I hope Daryl Bevel takes a lesson from Kyle Shanahan, because that is what LaVisca needs to do. Do some jet sweeps, do some wide receiver reverses, do something to get the ball in his hands and go around like the linebackers, because he's clearly not getting past these corners and safeties.
But I think the problem is he's still not even that fast. And that's where you have Jamal Agnew doing that. And I'd rather see Agnew do it, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, we saw with that touchdown run.
But
he's
the thing is, with Chenault, he's built like a running back. You don't have to be fast to be a running back in the NFL. Look at Leonard Fournette.
But on Toby jet Gerhardt. Sweeps, you got to be pretty fast.
Wait, say that again?
On jet sweeps, you got to be able
to get
to the corner.
So that's where Agnew is. But, like, on a third and two, you just hand it to Chenault and let him go up the middle. And, like, your offensive line also should open up.
I'd rather have
a
second running back that's, like,
yeah, we would rather that too.
Kind of guy.
But we don't have that.
And that's where they drafted Travis Etienne. So we'll see. I mean, this offense could be a work in progress due to the fact that we lost our number one.
Oh, it is a work in progress.
Yeah. Well, we lost our number one receiver and we lost our
one
change of pace running back. And tight end is just a...
We had James O'Shaughnessy. Imagine him with Dan Arnold right now. How fun that would be. That'd be cool to see.
I think it'd be all right, because Oshaq Hennessy is not the worst receiver, and not being the only target, he might actually be better out there.
Is he expected to come back at all this season? I don't remember right now.
I don't know, nor care. I think Dan Arnold's actually better than Shaq Hennessy.
Well, he is. I would agree with that. Plus, he stays healthy.
Oshaq Hennessy.
And, yeah, I would agree with Dan Arnold being better.
With the 49ers coming to town, the defense has been playing well. And how many points did they score on the Rams?
Last night?
Yeah, like 30-something?
No, Deebo got me 30 points fantasy-wise. But they did to get 31 points on
31
the Rams.
Points, okay. So
granted, one of them was a pick six, so wasn't really the offense that did it.
Okay, well, still, 30 points. The defense has been the highlight, which... You know, early on in the season, we thought, golly, this defense stinks. Taven Bryan had a tackle for loss that was pretty nice. He had a couple QB hits. Just more like all around, like, decent play, I guess I should say, from the defense,
and
where they weren't, like, getting scorched. I mean, they were forcing three and outs, too, but
it's
hard being on the field all the time, too, and doing all of that.
Yeah, and, like, the start was the main thing, like, letting that big run to Taylor early on. That's what kind of like set them back behind in terms of yardage allowed. But, you know, that after that long run, they didn't allow a touchdown on that first drive. We still got down 17-0, but that wasn't entirely their fault. You know, blocked punt, went for a touchdown, too.
And that's tough. So, yeah, that's his first blocked punt in his career. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, they only allow, what, 13 points? Or my math's off there, 23 minus 7.
16.
Yeah.
Well, 17 points technically not scored by the offense.
Yeah. So And the Indianapolis Colts offense had 30 points going into like the last four games, and they scored 40 twice also in two of the last five or six games or something like that. So Indianapolis was a really potent offense. And then we also were really stout against the number one offense with Buffalo. It is really good to see them build off of that to an extent, but we need to see it again, and I'm sure we will. And hopefully with a better result, since it's not such a highly touted offense coming into town. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo can be inconsistent from here and there, but you never know. He knows the system well, and then Trey Lance could be thrown in there and make some plays, or is he
Mike's
hurt?
Boy, Trey Lance?
He has not played at all this year, really.
So, yeah.
Has he been hurt?
No. Just Jimmy's just been playing okay, I guess. Okay. But things are 3-5. Yeah, you can keep talking crap. But
what was that? Didn't you write something down about that?
I said Trey Lance would be the starter by week 3. I was wrong. But no, I mean, no, the thing is, my
still waiting for week 3, huh?
Yeah, I'm still waiting because the Niners are, what, 4-5? Granted, they're still in the playoff hunt, so I guess they're going to ride with Jimmy G. But I don't think the Jags really have a good shot if they don't get this offense rolling.
Well, one thing is that's in our favor. You have a West Coast team coming east, and they just played Monday night, and they're playing a 1 o'clock game. So,
yeah. I mean, hey, you got a
slow start.
All
you got to take advantage of. Hopefully, they start slow. That's how we started this past week. We were slow.
Yeah, remember, I mean, we had a whole bye week, and then played Seattle, and then forgot how to play football.
Yeah, and you know, Smoot told everyone, you know, you got to understand, we weren't together for 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that. I think the West Coast. I feel like going from the West Coast to the East Coast is easier for some teams than it is the other way around.
Well, they have to do it more often. Like, teams that go out West, they're only doing it once every so often, where the West Coast teams have to play teams in the East every single year. So,
my thing is also with the Niners, at least this week, they just won their first home game at home. Or they just won their first game at home this year.
That was the first home game at home.
This year. Actually, the first time in almost 2 years they won their first home game.
In Mike's defense, we won our first home game in London. So,
but they're actually doing pretty good on the road this year. They're 3-1 at home on the road, and they've already beaten. Granted, three teams they've beaten are not good teams, but neither are we. So,
are there any East Coast teams?
Philly, Detroit, kind of in the middle. In Chicago, same thing, 1 hour behind us. So it's not really tough for them, but they also, the other road game was against Arizona, where they lost by a touchdown. But I think the Niners are going to actually smoke the Jags. I don't see how we're going to keep up.
They're going to smoke us.
Yes.
You going to be there?
Probably.
You going to be there?
Probably not. I'll probably celebrate Thanksgiving or something. My mom's going to Arizona for Thanksgiving.
Are you going to do it a little early? Gotcha. I'll probably be there. Alyssa doesn't want to use her ticket, and she says she's going to give it to me, and I don't really want to go just for the fact that I feel like we're going to get spanked. But
if you don't want to go, let me know. I can get someone who can take it.
It's going to be like the Buffalo game.
No, I would make her go if I didn't go.
So, it's her ticket.
No, it's one ticket. Oh. Her whole family's going.
So that'd be weird. Okay, never mind. Gotcha.
Yeah, it'd be kind of strange. But another note I wanted to add about the Jags is Matthew Wright, one of two, hits a 56-yard field goal but misses an extra point. Just no consistency.
And then
it's
missed
so
a 51,
hard to figure
right?
it out. Yeah, it was a 51 that he missed. Man, it's tough out here. We can't even get the 3 points.
I don't think you're going to let this go until, like, Lambeau starts making kicks, too. Like, fuck Lambeau.
Hey, I want to bring up the kickers because, you know, I like kickers.
I like kicking, too.
You know, I liked his story, and I thought it'd be interesting, but we'll see what happens. So, San Francisco at 1 o'clock, the next time we will see the Jaguars play. Moving on to the Florida State Seminoles.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to the Florida Gators.
No. I said we're going to go Noles first, then we'll go Gators.
I did not hear that, so my apologies.
You're good. So, the Florida State Seminoles knock off the Hurricanes of Miami. And
Miami.
Mike, we watched that one together. That was probably the most hype I've been for a game in a while.
That was one, fuck Miami. Two, fuck Miami. Three, fuck Miami.
All right. Well, I'll put the explicit tag on this episode. Good
Lord.
That's
fine.
Blowing that big lead in the first half, that was hard to swallow. But to still come out victorious is It's a feeling that's unmatched. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, but it's always great to beat Miami. Always.
4th and 14. I was really nervous. I did not think Jordan Travis was going to make that throw.
He stepped into it, and it was a great catch by Parchment, who sucked all game.
All year. Yeah.
Yeah. The Kansas transfer is not really what we were hoping for, but
we should have known better when he transferred from Kansas.
We can talk Kansas later, too.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be brought up.
But, yeah, so that's a good win. But I did want to notate, because we obviously couldn't hear in the restaurant that we were in the actual audio of the game. So when the game ended, we just saw the referee come out on the field, and we're like, what did he say? And they just said final on the bottom. We're like, all right, we won. Sweet. And there were some Georgia fans and a Gator fan that were like, oh, yeah, well, that was weird. We didn't know what happened. So according to this article from Bleacher Report, in 2013, the rule changed to establish 3 seconds as the minimum amount of time required to be on the game clock in order to spike the ball to stop the clock. If 1 or 2 seconds remain on the clock, there is only time for the offense to run one more play. So technically, Van Dyke could have snapped the ball and just chucked it as far as he could. And
that would have been perfectly fine.
Probably would have done nothing anyway. But
well, knowing our Florida State and their history with Hail Marys,
hey, you know, that has not been great. Really far. And I don't think he has that much of an arm. So,
well, Jacksonville State caught it outside the end zone and ran it into the end
zone. Yes, thank you for reminding us, Skyler.
That is correct. That is correct. And
it's possible.
it was just kind of a weird play, a weird way to win, but I'm taking it.
Okay, the amount of weird wins that Miami has gotten in our history with them, wide right, wide left, wide whatever. I don't even know how many wide whatever. Exactly. I don't know, 2 or 3, 4.
3 wide rights and a wide left.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever the number is. They've had their weird ways of winning. We can now get ours.
Absolutely. And like I said, we'll take whatever we can get. That's another win.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Fuck Miami.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Well, Gators,
yes,
played the Samford Bulldogs. I think they are. Right?
We beat the Bulldogs.
Yep, Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Bowden's alma mater.
There you go.
That is right. I forgot it was Jimbo's too. I knew it was Bobby's.
Where legends are made.
Yeah, somebody said that his he goat was haunting him from the grave. Basically,
that's funny.
I cannot get back to the SEC. There it is. Okay, sorry. Pulling it up here. The final score was 70-52.
Heck yeah.
That's some like Big 12 score right there.
That's basketball. Basketball season, sir. It was almost like the Florida State basketball game, because that was like 71-55.
I think you're right.
That
actually
was the score.
It was right around that score.
Congrats on the first win in 7 years against Florida State, hey, Florida Gators.
We got a good start this season. Mike White is on a roll.
Extend Mike White, baby.
Yeah, extend Mike White.
Especially watch him win a national championship this year, too. You know?
Absolutely zero shot.
No chance in hell.
You got to play the game.
Samford's quarterback threw for 400 yards. They only rushed for 114, but yeah, had a 416 receiving yards. It was just a slugfest. And the first half was brutal. I'm pretty sure they were losing at half. They were losing at half. And then they shut them out in the third quarter, holding them to only 10 second half points. But Dan Mullen, after the game, was quoted with saying, you know, basically, a win is a win. Do you agree with that, Skyler?
Well, I mean, after this losing streak and such, I think he's just trying to get past this week. And after firing two coaches that he's also good friends with, you know, he just wants to get through this week. But obviously, people are going to look at Samford and be like, that's embarrassing, you know. And you could say it is, you know, allowed 42 points at halftime, 52 points total. I think that's the most an FCS team's ever scored against
the most Florida's allowed in the first half, I'm pretty sure. I saw a stat somewhere over the weekend.
Yeah.
I think it was the first, like, most they've allowed in the first half ever.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think it's one of those.
I mean, they showed a lot of stats on the TV, and that might have been one of them for sure. But, you know, in fairness, the offense scored 70 points, which is the second most in team history, the most being, like, 122 or something in 1918 or something like that. So
it was one of the top three quarterback performances in school history behind Tim Tebow and I want to say Chris Leak. Yeah, so I mean, like it was a great game for Emory Jones, but
the defense was definitely sloppy. Like
defense was bad. Yeah.
That's why we fired our defensive coordinator. But we weren't hoping to go from 34 points a game to 52. You know,
against a then 4-5 Samford team. Like I can understand if it was like, you know, an FCS team vying for a national championship or whatever they call it.
But okay, so here's the. It is actually correct that Samford's 42 points scored in the first half at UF is the most points the Gators have ever allowed in the first half. It's also two more points than Samford scored in its last three games against FBS opponents combined.
Damn.
Stated by Bruce Feldman, but obviously other sources also indicated that. But that was the first tweet I saw.
Well, Stats. It's almost like we're reverse of where we were with Muschamp and McElwain, where our defense was really stout, but we had no offense, and we had Luke Del Rio and Skylar Morningwig and Treyon Harris.
Luke Del Rio, that's a throwback.
I saw him play in high school.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he wasn't good then. So I don't know what the heck. Like I could have been a Gator quarterback, I feel like, if I just put on some weight. So, you know, it's just the offense has been a disaster in the past, and now it's just we got to this point where the defense is just flat out atrocious. But, you know, I think what we got to look at too is after the second half, they only allowed 10 points. They started forcing turnovers, and that's something that throughout the past couple of years, we don't see the team make any halftime adjustments. It's just the same flat out, flat defense throughout. Same mistakes first half and second half. Now, granted, they allowed 42 in the first half, but you know, they were coming off a losing streak for like the first time in a while, and we're not in a good place, but we're at where we're at.
No, but I mean, it is a good sign to see that they made those adjustments and actually came back and, you know, stopped them to win. Of course, yes, it's Samford. It sucks to see, but
if the score was 58-52 at the end, I'm like, we're probably talking more about Dan Mullen being on a hot seat.
He is still on the hot seat.
I'm not saying he's off of it. That's not what I'm saying at all. But
Mike is just sitting over here, so foaming at the mouth.
He's the one lighting the fire. He's
I'm not the one who's lighting the fire. Florida fans are on Twitter. Florida alumni. Florida beat reporters,
the local radio station.
And then Gator fans and alumni and all that, they're all cynical too at the same time. So,
You go back to the beginning of the season where you thought you'd be fighting for an SEC title, even maybe.
Yeah, Todd Grantham should have been fired last year. Like, so that all that those expectations were negated with Todd Grantham anyways. It was based on Grantham's performance throughout the history, like throughout this season or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, that's where Mullen is on the hot seat. His loyalty to Grantham, towards Emory, maybe if the quarterback battle shouldn't be in his hands, but
to be fair, Anthony Richardson did hurt himself dancing before the game.
And this is what, you know, Dan Mullen sees all the time is Anthony Richardson probably doesn't have that maturity that you need to have as a starting quarterback in the SEC. So, but, you know, obviously we're at where we're at. We're playing Missouri next week. I think the defense has a lot of momentum based off, you know, the adjustments they made. Obviously the first half was garbage, but you had some guys start to make plays in the in the second half. And Missouri's going to be a tougher opponent, obviously, but, you know.
Senior day for them.
And it's going
to
be cold.
It's just crazy to sit here like at this point of the season and say that Missouri is going to be a tough opponent for Florida.
They always are anyways. It doesn't matter,
but I mean, it's still weird. And I mean, like, I'm still thinking like, oh yeah, they'll be tough, but
this
Florida
is usually our coldest game.
24. But I mean, they just beat South Carolina. They don't really have any good wins on their schedule, so
I'm pulling up the history between Missouri and Florida.
It's not good in our favor. Missouri's,
it's 50-50. They've played 10 times. Missouri's won 5. Florida's won 5.
Are all five, Missouri's wins in Missouri?
1 second.
Because I want to say, like, if anything, we maybe won once in Missouri, but I don't know if Missouri's ever won in the Swamp, so
Missouri did win in the Swamp.
Oh, they did?
2018.
Okay.
They won 38-17. But the last two times Florida and Missouri have played, they have smoked them. 23-6 in Columbia and 41-17 in the Swamp.
This one's at Memorial Field, right?
It's in Columbia.
In Missouri. Okay. So it'll be interesting to see. You got Florida.
I mean, Florida just needs one more win to make a bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get it.
I mean, they will. Even if they don't beat Missouri, they'll beat Florida State.
No, they won't.
They'll be mad.
I don't think they'll beat Florida State.
I don't know, man. It depends on what.
Bro, there's a possibility that the Florida State game, both teams could be 5-6. The winner goes to a bowl. The loser is at home watching.
That's sickening.
There's a possibility that could happen.
Remember when these programs were fighting for like
national championships?
And now we're fighting for bowl eligibility. Oh, the fall of the state of Florida.
Fuck Miami.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can keep saying that all you want.
Well, and then the Florida Classics this weekend, right? Bethune-Cookman versus FAMU. So,
I think you're right, yeah.
And Bethune-Cookman, I don't think they have a good record this year, but they won this past week. They're going into this game a different team. So, and FAMU just came off of a win, I believe.
FAMU actually did just, they've won actually like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row.
They're a good team.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are 8-2, second in the SWAC. Bethune-Cookman is 2-8.
But they won the last game, right?
Clicking. Oh. Loading. Yeah, they won 2 in a row.
Momentum.
They beat Alcorn and they beat Grambling.
Wow. And Alcorn has a good quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll take your word for it. I actually don't know anything.
I feel like
about
I've seen him publicized somewhere.
Except that's where Steve McNair went. Nice. RIP in peace.
I would like to go to one of those Florida Classic games.
I could be wrong on that, but I'm almost positive he did.
He did.
Anyway, yeah. No, Jackson State's leading the SWAC anyway, in case you were wondering. But.
And then isn't Dion being talked about for a potential run at different schools? I feel like I saw his name linked to like a Division I school.
He shouldn't. He needs to be spending more time. He's only been there, what, 2 years?
They're leading the SWAC.
But
I mean, like someone like Coastal Carolina's coach, he's probably going to get more views and stuff like that.
I mean, there's a lot of college football job openings, and there's more coming. Including one in Gainesville
and
probably
a big
Coral
one.
Gables.
No, not in Gainesville. They're keeping our boy.
Deion Sanders not going to Gainesville.
No, hell no, he will not go. You kidding me? There's a better shot of me going to UF as a head coach than there is of Deion going there.
Well, yeah, you're more desperate for money.
That's right. Damn right.
So, just a hypothetical here, Mike. You've been talking about the possibility of like going back to school. If Florida offered you 75% paid tuition, would you go?
Do I have any other offers?
You have one, but it's in Idaho.
To the west I go!
Oh, my goodness gracious. And that just blew out the speaker. Nice.
So Keith and I will.
So, okay, 100%. 100% paid, but you can go anywhere else too, but you have to just like do it normally. Like you could get back into Florida State. You've gotten into every school in the nation, but Florida is the only one giving you 100% paid tuition.
Down the Gainesville I go.
No.
100% that's different. That's a lot. That's a
98%. No, I'm just kidding.
My mom is actually moving to Tallahassee for 8 months next year.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Music. Major or something. I don't know. Music class.
Gotcha. No, but if Florida gave me that opportunity, yeah, I would do it. But the thing is, I would still root for the Noles.
Wouldn't tell anybody. Hey?
You
get the degree, but it'd be like, yeah, I went to Florida State. I went to Florida too.
I would never mention that unless it's for jobs. I would never mention I got a master's at Florida.
Because you know, like,
he wouldn't even put it on his
better.
LinkedIn page.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would.
He put it on there, but he put it on like hidden. Me only.
It says, ask about my other degree.
Yeah, for you know how it says references upon request? Master's degree information upon request.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. So let's close things out with a little game ball of the week first, or should I do a local update first?
Your call. You're the host.
Game ball of the week. Put you guys on the spot. You got one, Skyler?
Emory Jones.
We just talked about, had an excellent game against Samford. He threw for 400.
And keep in mind, it's
64
against,
yards.
Keep in mind, it's against Samford.
Hey, but he's still throwing. I mean, we lost to Jacksonville State, so.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Keep in mind that Florida State lost to Jacksonville State on a Hail Mary that didn't even reach the end zone.
He threw for 464 yards, 6 TDs, 28 of 38. Mike, your.
And then how many rushing yards?
Oh, he had 86 yards rushing.
Nice.
And a TD.
So over like 500 yards of offense.
Yeah. Mike Yoshi, your game ball of the week. You still looking?
I'm trying to find mine. Yeah, you go.
I'll go with mine. My game ball of the week, I did a little searching, was for Mississippi State quarterback Will Rogers in their beating of Auburn 43-34. He went 44 of 55, 415 yards and 6 TDs. So very similar to Emory Jones, but beating a Division I school team. And yeah, 415 yards passing is nothing to scoff at. Congrats to you, Will Rogers, for being my game ball of the week. Mike, are you ready?
Yes, got it.
Yes. Okay, I was going to see if I had to pull it up.
So my game ball of the week goes to a kicker.
What?
Matthew Wright.
Hell no. Reason why I say Scott kicker. Always. Okay. Sorry, I had to put my mouth away for a burp. But
I thought he was disgusted at first.
No, my game ball goes to Texas Tech kicker Jonathan Garibay. Reason why it's like 10 for game ball of the week, because he drilled. I don't know if he drilled it, but he made a 62-yard field goal.
I feel like you have to drill that.
For a game winner against Iowa State. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't remember a college kicker really making a kick over 50. 55 is pushing it.
I mean, in the past with Pinheiro and
maybe Aguayo, Roberto Aguayo, yeah. But
did he ever kick a 60-yarder?
I don't remember a 60-yarder. But
I feel like Sebastian did, but I don't know about
But not only is the fact that while I was looking him up, I didn't realize this, but the 62-yarder was definitely the longest of his career and season. But what blew my mind is that he's a sophomore. Or maybe junior. I don't know what this. Or no, he's a senior. I don't get the COVID eligibility threw things off. Anyway, he has not missed a kick at all this year in terms of field goals, but he's only missed one extra point. So he is 12 of 12, and that kept his perfect season alive in terms of making field goals. But to win the game on a 62-yard field goal for me in college football is pretty damn impressive.
So is this the Jaguars' next second-round pick?
Hell no.
The third round.
No. You don't want to get a kick. You don't draft a kicker until the sixth or seventh round.
Who is the punter we got?
Brian Anger.
Yeah.
Man. If we were going to draft the punter that high, it'd have to be that San Diego State guy.
Oh, yeah.
The one
dude.
Who punts like 80 yards.
Matt Ariza. Bro, he's kicking 80-yard
So he's
punts.
Our second-round pick, and then this Texas Tech kicker, third-round pick.
First and second.
There you go.
If that happens, Urban
Two firsts. We'll trade up.
Okay, that happens. Urban Meyer's fired.
No, he really cares about special teams, okay? No, notice how many points we left off the board this week with missed field goals and blocked punts, okay? Getting those players in the first and second round.
He almost had that second punt block, too. It was really bad, but... that punter is awesome. So local update. I didn't pull up the Iceman. I apologize. I'll get better about that for next episode. But I did want to touch on JU and UNF. UNF is currently 0-4, but
they're playing tough opponents.
Their out-of-conference schedule is ridiculous. Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Grand Canyon, and Arizona State, four straight losses there, but... Tomorrow, or when you're listening to it today, the 17th, they're playing at UCLA, which is crazy. Then they get a probably gimme game, and then they play at Kentucky. So they've got quite the out-of-conference schedule.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that. Like, imagine knowing that you're a basketball player who's probably not going to get to go to a Division I school, well, a high-caliber Division I school. But you get to go to UNF and play at these places like at UCLA and at Kentucky.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, these kids are having a dream right now, living a dream.
My school up in Georgia, Georgia Southwestern, my freshman year, we went to Auburn. It was just a scrimmage, but like going to play at Auburn, it's awesome. Not like they're a powerhouse basketball program, but it was just cool to be like, wow, I'm at Auburn like playing in this arena when I'm used to playing to basically an expanded gymnasium.
Yeah.
So actually the Storm Dome was really nice. It was a nice arena, but I won't get into that. Carter Hendrickson is having a good year so far for UNF, averaging 15-5 and almost a block a game too. So the other side of the city, JU is 2-1. They actually just lost to UCF while we were recording. They were in that game though for quite a while, but they have, first win under their new head coach, Mincy, Jordan Mincy. I think we discussed that last episode.
Yeah, then they got his second one.
Beat Trinity Baptist and then beat NCAA&T, which was a good game. Got to hear Sports Bar Podcast Zone Scott Mancy on the call for that one while we were driving home from our vacation this past weekend. That was nice to hear them pull out that win, but they will be going to Minnesota next week. This will be a state I've never been to, and neither has Scott, so it'll be a fun experience.
How many states have you been to? Is it rare that there's a state that you haven't been in?
No, it's more the other way around. Like, I've been basically up the Eastern Seaboard all the way up to, like, Delaware, Pennsylvania. I haven't been to New York or anything above that.
Same.
And then I drove all the way out to Wyoming, so.
Oh, yeah, for the dog.
Yeah, don't remind me.
And then you also got that Corey.
Dang. Good burn. Yeah, but, like, I haven't been to, like, the big states. I haven't been to Texas, California, New York, so. But I have been to Quebec, so.
Nice.
I could
throw
that
pulled
on
up the Iceman stat while you were, record when you were talking about JU and UNF.
Lay it on.
They played 10 games. They are 3-5-1-1. They've had 3 wins, 5 losses, 1 overtime loss, and 1 shootout loss.
Yeah, I forget that they score that differently. It's weird.
Yep, and they are currently 20th in the standings with 8 points. They are near the bottom.
20th of, like...
I'm talking about the whole league.
I know. Is it, like, 20th of, like, 30 or...
20 out of 27. So they are near the bottom of the league. And definitely work to be done downtown.
Work to be done indeed. They've got
downtown's always under construction. That's for sure.
It's true. But now I will end on this. One more thing. Mike and I were talking about it earlier. Did you see the Firehouse Subs news?
Oh, by the way, the Iceman lost today. So. Oh,
classic. So Firehouse Subs, a local Jacksonville restaurant chain.
I went to high school with the Sorensen kids. So
cool.
Pretty local. Yeah, like the Indy Sorensen was in our grade class, Kevin and I. And my sister was also friends with the sister, his sister. I think her name was Santa Sorensen. And she went to a birthday party there, and they had a really cool pool, changed colors, and they have a sauna in their house. So
okay, that's pretty baller.
They're obviously on their way to a nicer thing. But Indy played it's funny is Indy played football. So during senior night when he was announced, it was announced that he wanted to open up the first Firehouse in Hawaii. I don't think that happened, though.
I don't know, but they are. I think we looked at, like, they're in, like, 45 or 46 states or something like that. But the big news is they actually just got sold for $1 billion.
Yeah.
So congrats to Firehouse. They did come out and say a list of things that they expect the buyers to do, which the buyers are also invested in Burger King, which is another Jacksonville-based restaurant, which is cool to see. I went through a list of 5 other pretty big restaurants that are based here. So those 2 are gone. Can you name the 3 other that are based here in Jacksonville?
That are still here?
I mean, they branched out, but I mean, like, their originals were here in Jacksonville.
Would Larry's Giant Subs count?
It wasn't on there. I don't know if they're in other states yet. These other places are in multiple states. Two of them are breakfast places, and one of them is lunch dinner.
I feel like I'm going to know them, and I'll be mad.
You definitely know one. I mean, Metro Diner.
Oh, yeah. Dang. Yeah, Guy Fieri on Diner, Shrivens, and Dives.
Yeah, one of the worst episodes I've ever seen.
By the way, Larry's is in other states. I know Georgia, I see Georgia has locations.
Okay, so they're getting there. They just weren't on that little list that I saw. The other breakfast one would be Maple Street Biscuit Company. Okay.
Yes, yes.
The other one, the dinner one, there's one in San Marco. There's one by me on Roosevelt. There's one on San Jose. They have pizzas, burgers. There's one at Bartram Park.
Is this at the Loop?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it is.
I love the Loop sometimes.
Very hit or miss.
Their chicken tenders are always good.
Yes, they are. I used to get those a lot as a
kid.
And
then the ranch is super thick.
The ranch?
It's super thick. Have you, like, when you get the, you don't get the ranch with tenders, do you? No, get honey mustard?
Sometimes. I'd rather do ranch than honey mustard. No, we got pizza last time we went there. Never mind. I was trying to think if we got ranch to see if it was, like.
Steak fries are good, though?
I don't like steak fries.
No.
No, I'm not a steak fry guy.
You ever gone? So you haven't gone to Red Robin, probably?
I have, but I just
choose bottomless not to fries.
Really eat it. Yeah, I look for the.
There's a bottom ones. On those fries for you, huh?
I look for the crunchy ones, and then I'm out.
Well, last time I was there, I got this fondue burger, and it's just a burger with cheese and bacon on it, and you dip it in a bowl of melted cheese with bacon bits in it. It was so like good.
Clogged my arteries just saying.
Oh, that. Yeah, I'm sure.
Golly.
But
before we get you all too hungry, we're going to go ahead and check out here. Thank you all for listening again to another episode of Dimes on Duval. For Skylar Chase, Mike Yazji, I am Keith Manzi signing off. We'll catch you next time.
Love you, Trevor Lawrence.